across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. You know, I often mention to you guys that I came up with a few ideas and brought them to the surface. I mean, the idea of Columbia, the goddess of America, our capital, the District of Columbia. And it really appeared to me that I was the first person to ask the question, who is Columbia? I went to libraries, newspapers, microfiche, any way I could to try and get any data I could off of about Columbia, and there was none. Then I went, you know, finally the World Wide Web came around, and I searched the World Wide Web, and there was nothing about this goddess that plays such a prominent role in America. Now, I bring up the idea that I asked this question before anyone else asked the question, not to boast about being first in these concepts or ideas, but to show you how early this study is, how we are just now asking these questions. So we can't have all the answers. The answers are out there, and we are trying to combine all of our knowledge to get this together to try to find a true answer to life on planet Earth. But a novel idea doesn't go very far. People like things to believe in their belief biases. So a novel idea that comes past them just floats right by until they can build up a knowledge base finally to accept that knowledge. But by then, it's already long gone and they forgot where they got it from. But one such researcher, Jason Bersiris, is joining us tonight for a novel idea, a new chronological theory that is research that leads to the concept of an advanced research of artificial intelligence, what Jason calls artificial intelligence X. And of course, this breaks down to the word archaics, and that is where you will find Jason's work, archaics.com. And he has dug deep into materials that nobody digs into. He's reading books from the 1800s, bringing in all this information to bring the ancient past behind the scenes happenings throughout all time periods that have been censored, the academic cover-up, the real facts in the race and religion subversive societies, and brings this all forward in a way that can be explained in such a unique way that I hope that you guys will go over to archaics.com and his YouTube channel, which are all linked below, and dig deep into this deep, deep study that Jason has brought us. Jason, welcome to the Free Zone.
Hi, Freeman. It's good to talk to you again. It's great to be here, and I'm a little humbled by the intro.
Thank you. I am humbled as well. It is fun to talk to somebody of your intellect and someone that has the data. I mean, it really was a different world before the World Wide Web, and we were reading books and library exchange systems and microfiche and trying to find these data and details. And to go at it from this research style, from starting from, you know, your massive library from the 1800s, you can see just more and more how little is known on the World Wide Web, how nobody's digging deep into these boring resource and materials, and then bringing about this research in a way that people can understand it and bringing it into the modern era, which, I mean, going into advanced AI from the ancient past is definitely bringing the old to the new. It really shows us how little is actually known about our world and how everybody really wants to have an answer now, and it's just not going to happen. But I wanted to open our conversation on the craziness, the absolute craziness going on around this solar eclipse on April 8th. I mean, my God. We've got Homeland Security pulling out with the FBI and the CIA. I don't even know who's all involved. Hospitals, firefighters, everybody that they could get, to the point that certain conspiracy theorists are saying this is a drill for martial law. I mean, why on earth would Homeland Security and all of the different departments come together over an eclipse? I mean, this is crazy talk, like we're living in medieval times. But then you add to this that CERN has having a major program opening up on that day. And NASA, as strange as this is, the Serpent Deity Project, NASA is launching 3 sounding rockets at the moon during the eclipse. And the program is known as Apep, the serpent deity of destruction of the ancient Egyptians, related to Apophis, which we'll have to worry about that one in 2029. But I mean, my God, so they're launching rockets, they're boosting up CERN, they're bringing out Homeland Security. What are your thoughts on just that side of things?
I think there's an element here, Freeman, that we can add to this whole list of seemingly random yet interrelated chaotic events. And that's one thing I've released 2 videos on YouTube. I haven't even been biting my tongue. They haven't taken my videos down or anything, but just showing mathematical relationships between eclipse dates, I have shown that these dates are all mathematically connected to the exact geographical area that the Pfizer vaccine was manufactured and then distributed throughout the United States. Not only that, but eclipse dates are also showing the exact time when the virus was released to the public. And on my video, I show all these charts, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. The study of calendrics is something that I've been involved in for about 20 years. And it's literally, it's very hard to abbreviate 25 years of meticulous research into just a single paragraph. It's not easy, because we don't even have the necessary vocabulary today to explain exactly what it is that I have been finding through the study of history that our reality really is, and how it unfolds. And I believe these things are all interrelated. And I just wanted to add that when we're talking about these NASA rockets and sounding rockets, I really don't know what a sounding rocket is, what exactly their objective is. But in CERN firing up, this is a Hadron Collider. Okay, so we have some type of interface between something in the upper atmosphere and something on the ground or underground. And at the same time, it is mathematically intrinsically connected to the vaccine, not COVID. I couldn't find any associations to COVID, but I could find a lot of them with the vaccine. And I'm wondering if they're going to use the eclipse as a cover for something else. Or something that may happen during the eclipse to those who are in the absolute path of totality. If there's any type of change that's going to come across them, would it be blamed on the eclipse when it's actually some type of military, like I said, the interfacing of different systems, some type of experiment? You're right. It's very unusual what's going on.
Yeah. Let me add to that then, because during COVID, during the lockdown, the lockdown fell on the day that we were about to get hit by a massive horde of asteroids. They were all heading straight for the planet. I don't know how they missed us. We did have the closest near miss in recorded history during that time on the Monday of the lockdown. But what it appeared was that we had this whole scenario of the virus and COVID, and we needing, you know, 2 weeks to slow the spread. But at the same time, there were those of us that were saying, I think that this is false. I mean, there was only one person dead in China when they started announcing lockdowns and vaccinations and everything else. And I think there's more to this story. So those of us that have been tracking this whole potential meteor strike on planet Earth started looking in that direction. And the reason being is that they set up all these field hospitals around the country, and they put the Mercy and the Comfort, the 2 big ships off the coast of California and Florida, and set up these field hospitals with trauma doctors, not medical doctors. And then within a week, they broke down all of those field hospitals, and not one COVID patient ever saw the inside of it. But what we discovered, those of us that were looking in this direction, that there was this near miss of a horde of asteroids that heading towards planet Earth, that could have caused massive devastation on that day. And then, so this, in kind of coordinating with what you were saying, was like a project inside of a project. They had the whole COVID thing running down, but they also had this asteroid threat that they had to cover for. And so using this whole COVID cover up to build these field hospitals and then tear them down again without ever using them, covered it up. Nobody asked any questions about asteroids and things of that nature.
I wasn't aware of the asteroid deal, but if you, that's compelling to me for a totally different reason. And like I said, the calendrics shows that the eclipse dates are pointing to the vaccine manufacturer's actual coordinates of the location. The path of totality passed right over the facility. And I show all this on my channel, but I wasn't aware that there was this asteroid deal. Let me explain why it's so unusual to me about what things falling out of the sky. So far, you haven't said this, but there is an element here that has been talked about, you know, tangentially by a lot of people. And it's this zombie apocalypse type scenario. All right. I don't know what kind of information you've come into contact with, but it was in the year 1599 when something unusual fell out of the sky over Britain. And a piece of that took a tavern out in London. And it was during a night when the Great Hall in London was full of 3,000 people, and Shakespeare was there, and they were doing a play. None of the nobility were present because it was just an ordinary play night, and it wasn't one of the debuts for a new play. So they were just playing an older play over again for more people. And an outbreak occurred in the city, starting at the epicenter of impact. And while it took the tavern out and created this huge hole, there was a green mist or a green something that emanated from the impact area. And everybody, it was airborne. And everybody who was in the area got infected. And in the historical record, the accounts that we have is pretty, it's terrible. People literally changed in minutes, and their bodies became amorphous, meaning they weren't able to hold their facial structure. Their fingers, skin started slagging, and they had this immediate hunger. And it was just like a Hollywood production, a movie. People were turning into zombies. They're alive, but now they just have this hunger where they eating each other, trying to find other people. And a bunch of people went into the Great Hall in London. Shakespeare was there, and historians have noted that after this incident, Shakespeare never did another play that was upbeat, like a sonnet or anything. Everything was dark and dismal after all his plays. After this was very dark and dismal. Well, there was a great fight in London, and it come to find out the only way to even stop them, because people were stabbing them, burning them, impaling them on spears, chopping at their bodies, nothing worked to stop these people. They were maddened with pain and the hunger from being exposed to this gas from this object that fell out the sky. And this is the year 1599. So people started wrestling each individual person that was affected and dragging them to the city's guillotines. And the only thing that stopped them was cutting off their heads. So only reason I'm mentioning this is because we had a similar episode of this. I'm not trying to fearmonger and say this is where all this is going, but it is. I am a chronologist, and it is very interesting to me that during the New Madrid quakes of 1811, 1812, there are reports of humans going stark raving mad just from the vibrations. The quakes lasted for weeks. And the tremors lasted for months after that. But during the height of the earthquakes, people were losing their minds beyond just the fear from an earthquake. It was something else. And there was a lot of things going on that was particularly heinous, but we didn't have a lot. It wasn't, this is all out in the country. None of this really affected the cities. We don't have a lot of reports. But that was 213 years difference. And what's going on in 2024 is another 213 years difference. I don't know if that means anything, but it is very unusual when you put things together, such as a decade ago, the U.S. government had purchased 30,000 guillotines and had them spread throughout the United States. Now, the fearmongers want you to believe that they're going to be, you know, cutting off patriots' heads and all that stuff. But what if they're getting ready for something else?
Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. I've been seeing the videos of zombie-like activities of people. There was this crazy woman trying to get through a gate that really was frightening. And then, of course, the reports of zombie deers and the numerous other zombie stories that I covered back years ago. But, you know, it's becoming more and more prominent. So to consider this, now, if we're taking your idea of the cross of the eclipse and it coming across, I believe it was Chesterfield, where the Pfizer plant is.
Right, exactly.
Now, we're dealing here with an mRNA-type scenario, so they're dealing with the DNA of humans. And then we're talking about the potential manipulation of DNA due to astrological effects of, you know, the solar eclipse, incoming mysterious rocks that cause these things. And I'm going to relate this to this current project that is launching on the day of the eclipse. And I just want to read this from MSN.com.
Okay.
And we haven't even mentioned the Mother of Dragons, the Devil's Comet yet, but that will come up as we go along. That's next. But so here's the report. There's a total solar eclipse coming in North America, and NASA plans to shoot some rockets at it to see how the ionosphere changes as the sun is obscured by the moon. So they're admitting there that there are these massive changes simply because the moon has moved in front of the sun. NASA plans to launch a trio of sounding rockets before, during, and after the eclipse on April 8th as part of its Atmospheric Perturbations Around Eclipse Path, or APEP. So again, just like the Lucifer telescope, they had to work very hard to title this after the serpent deity of destruction. And the APEP program is in the hopes of being able to better predict and prevent disruptions to terrestrial communications tech, is the explanation they're giving you for these. But we can obviously see that they are stating that there is an effect on humanity. There is an effect that is going to occur. These atmospheric perturbations around the eclipse path, or APEP, have an effect on all of this. So there is much more going on here than a simple eclipse and the announcement that of the effect of this on humanity and the potential of the manipulation of humans' DNA as we looked at all this. And then, of course, we have the Mother of Dragons comet going to be visible in the night sky as well, which they are also calling the Devil's Dragon. So we have the serpent deity, the Mother of Dragons. The Mother of Dragons comet actually comes from the Kappa Draconids, and that was where they decided to pick up the name for Mother of Dragons.
The New Madrid episode in 1811 was preceded by a comet with two tails. Yeah, for 260 days in the year 1811, everybody could see it with their naked eye. It was a giant comet in the sky. It had two tails, and it disappeared about 60 days right before the earthquakes began.
So here we are again. So your concept of this cylindrical time loop that we're in seems to, you know, we're looking. I mean, let's get people informed on your years of research that to lay this out for archaics, and this idea of this cyclical situation that we're in, which you believe is due to an ancient AI you call AIX and relate to El Shaddai or Yahweh. Do you want to just outline that a little bit so people know where we're coming from?
And to provide a little context, I spent the first 40 years of my life as a Southern Baptist. You know, I was twice baptized. I was born, washed in the blood of the Lamb, read my Bible back and forth, part of Bible studies. I used to teach Bible studies. I mean, this is who I was. It's what I believed. It was what I was bred to believe. After about 40 years, after about 30 years, I was about 30 years old before I started really, you know, deep diving into a lot of the academic and the peer-reviewed material, because I was looking for more evidence that the Bible was real. And I found just the opposite as I was going through all these Old Testament stories. And it blew my mind that, you know, I didn't realize that in 1849, we had made such a massive amount of discoveries, 30,000 ancient cuneiform texts just from Ashurbanipal's library alone. I had no idea that we had the Karsag tablets and the Kutor-Lermor tablets, the Atrahasis epos, the Era epos, the Epic of Gilgamesh, all these amazing, the Enuma Elish texts, all these amazing, all the Sargonaut epos. And when I put all these things together, I realized, wow, it's just the opposite of what I was raised to believe. I believe the Bible was the word of God. This was the original document. And then I come to find out that all these ancient civilizations that were far more advanced than the ancient Jewish authors had already recorded these events, and that it was a collection of Jewish prisoners in the 5th century BC that had literally put together the Old Testament, borrowing from the cosmopolitan libraries of Babylon and Ugarit, Reshemra, Kadesh, and Assyria. And once I realized what the academics and scholars had put together, I found more and more evidence that they were right. And I go through it, and then I started studying Christianity and the origin of Christianity and the church councils and how they had manipulated everything and how they invented original church fathers that had never existed before and how they got caught over and over and over by citing later versions of biblical translations and saying that this was written by Pliny, saying that this was written by Macrobius, saying that this was written by Irenaeus. And yet the actual texts are just like the Donation of Constantine. That's how the Roman Catholic Church got caught lying when they said that Constantine had on his deathbed signed over the Roman Empire to the Church of Rome. And every bit it was a lie, but it was a lie that was only discovered 300 years after the fact. And the lie was detected because scholars, I believe his name was Valla, but scholars had gone through the Donation of Constantine and realized this couldn't have been written during the days of Constantine. Yet it had been sealed in a Roman vault, and they claimed that it is the original document. But when it was studied, it was citing the Latin Vulgate, which wasn't even around when Constantine was alive. Somebody had made this up long after Constantine was dead. So they got caught over, the church got caught over and over and over and over with these forgeries and these redactions and interpolations and filling in lacunas that they had no business filling in. So this is my life research, but it led to a decade of just pure mathematical chronological analysis of the history of the world. And that led to a 1,700 page book I wrote called Chronicon, where I'm showing how 41 different ancient and modern calendars all synthesize into one perfect timeline. I show the pre-flood world chronology. We're talking about 200 events in the pre-flood world. I've gathered the intel from almost every culture. I put it together in a single synthetic timeline. You know, it's one of my most popular downloads right now. It's so massive, I haven't published it in a book, but I have 12 books published, but I've written 27. And that's about, in a gist, that's about as much as I can abbreviate all that. But it's a massive corpus of chronological material culled from all the writings I have been able to get my hands on from all time periods, all translated into English that I can find. It is still lacking. There are still other ancient texts that there are no English translations that I can find. But still, it's still a one of a kind work. So when I'm doing this calendrical analysis, I find these patterns. This is why my community takes it seriously. This is why my channel has exploded, because it is my tenet not to tell somebody, but to show them. So I'm always showing the chart, showing how the math works, and my channel probably has more fact checkers than any other channel on YouTube. I have a whole army of fact checkers that are always going through my material.
I believe that. And guys, if you go over to archaics.com or to Jason's YouTube, you are going to be there for a while. So dig in. There is so much there. It's years and years of data to get in through. Yeah, it appears that they are trying to obscure this history that you are unveiling and very quickly trying to you know, we can go all the way back to the Gulf War and what some are saying was called Operation Stargate, where they attacked. Now, that even that was fascinating when they attacked Iraq and you saw these massive helicopters flying over the ancient pyramidal structures from Sumeria. And then comparing that with the picture that was depicted of a helicopter in ancient Egypt, and just seeing these helicopters over these pyramids was so surreal and like kind of blending past with future. And was this happening in our ancient past? But then the American military goes in and they raid the Baghdad Museum and steal these cuneiform scripts, the cylinder seals and things that might have these answers. And then later we have ISIS going out and destroying all these ancient artifacts from Nebuchadnezzar and the ancient structures that were all there and the artifacts that could have given us clues to this past. And currently Israel is attacking Baalbek, Lebanon, where most people don't even realize that Baalbek, Lebanon's excavated 1,200 ton stones are far more fascinating than the Great Pyramids. You know, we could kind of explain perhaps the pyramids, but you know, we can't because we don't even, I went to the University of Kansas to study ancient architecture, and the professor, who I'm pretty sure was a Freemason, stood before us and told us there are no cranes in the world in the 21st century that can lift the biggest stones used to build the pyramid. We can't do it today. And he left it at that, just left us with that. He also told us Egypt's history runs backwards and starts with a high civilization and declines from there, which would only suggest a transplant colony from somewhere. And now we're looking at this situation where we have these, the fact that they're called ISIS, you know, but we have these forces like Israel and ISIS, and then of course the U.S. military, out destroying all of this ancient knowledge that we are just about to get to a point where we might be able to understand using modern AI to possibly translate these cuneiform scripts. They're all being destroyed and eradicated right before our eyes.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. There was even an interesting aside. I don't know much about it. I really don't research anything in modern times. As a matter of fact, my two eclipse videos were done because my community kept on asking me to look into the eclipses and look into the dates. So I used my system. It's date sequence predictive analytics systems I have called OFIS. And I started analyzing it, and that's when I realized, holy shit, all these eclipse dates, man, are connected to vaccines, vaccine manufacturing. I couldn't believe it. But it wasn't something that I'm interested in. I'm not interested in anything modern. My whole entire channel is about showing that we exist within this hyperdimensional, amazing mathematical construct that we call reality, a perceived experience, not an actual experience. And I do this by the study of history, showing that these are way too perfect mathematical patterns. So I wasn't interested in eclipses. My community asked for that. But in doing so, I had found some other things that were interesting, such as a reference to Hillary Clinton in a dossier she had, was questioning somebody about Gilgamesh's tomb that had been found in
not
US
just
military.
The tomb, but the immortal chamber.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about this. It's like I said, I don't really pay attention to a lot of modern things. It's not my forte, but I did find it interesting.
What do they call it? The resurrection chamber is what they called it.
Crime family would be interested in that. They obviously found some type of tech, because it is a tenet of my research on archaics. I'm always telling my community that it only takes us 200 years to go from horse and buggy to Hadron Collider. So if we have evidence of repeat resets and we have these punctuated periods called dark ages that separate whole eras of our history, and these dark ages permeate through every culture at the exact same time, as I've documented on my channel, then this necessarily implies that we've been technologically advanced before, and then there's been whole entire infrastructure collapses where we had to start back over in some type of steampunk type society. And from that type of society, you wouldn't evolve, you would devolve. for a period of time before there was a plateau point, a tipping point, where you would start rapidly, like we did in the 1800s, rapidly discovery after discovery after discovery, and the next thing you know, people engineering and manufacturing, next thing you know, technologically advanced all over again. It does not take long. But that's why I agree with you about the reliefs of Abydos at the Osirion are very unusual, because the ancient Egyptians didn't understand what they found either. When they found these gigantic structures, they plastered over them so they could do their own Egyptian hieroglyphs in the plaster. It was once the plaster was removed that they found those tanks, hovercrafts, and helicopter sigils on the Osirion.
Right. Yes. Our history is hidden. There's no doubt about it. And it's being hidden more and more, but they can't hide it all. And this concept of the cyclical destruction, you know, we see that in flash frozen mammoths or petrified animals that shouldn't be. I mean, that, you know, how does a bird petrify in the air? How does a animal petrify while eating? You know, what is that reset that we're looking
that's
at?
It is crazy. I mean, I have a video that's very popular where I show about 200 photos of fish in the middle of eating other fish turned to stone. How that happened? They're underwater. How do you fossilize a jellyfish? Huh. How do you preserve in perfect stone dragonfly wings, butterfly wings? I've got pictures of all those. It's like the entire world flash froze instantly. But what's anomalous about it is every single thing that I showed in that video are alive well and today in your community, in your backyard, right there on the coast, in the lake. Crazy.
Right. Because that should have ended their life cycle at that point. But how did they come back? And that kind of
almost
speaks
like a,
to...
It's almost like a full systemic reboot.
Right.
Shut down, reset, reboot. But once everything's rebooted, there's necessary edits. And this is what I like to do, Freeman. I like to show what existed. On my channel, I have videos that show here's what life was like right before this weird series of events. And then after, look how it all developed. So there's like a three-year period, transitional period, where you can tell. It's almost like reality itself went through a filter. This is the reset. Some resets are very sophisticated because it's not a destruction. Sometimes they're masked as natural disasters. Other times, it's huge changes. And there are people who can't cope with the fact that for some reason, the edit didn't involve them. So cerebrally, they're still living in the prior timeline. They haven't adjusted to the not new timeline. And now the whole world seems totally weird because they know how it was supposed to be. These are your people who end up in sanitariums and insane asylums and all that.
Now, how does that play out with like the orphan trains? Have you dug into that?
I have. 1800s is very anomalous. Something unusual certainly happened. Absolutely happened. I mean, I probably have 22 to 23 video presentations on the year 1902. Most people until they come to the archaics research, most people don't have a clue all the systemic changes that happened instantly in that one single year. 1902 is a huge anomaly, and it's at the height of the orphan trains as well.
I like following the studies of the Tartarians, that research group, and just the concept that these structures were already here. Do you follow upon those thoughts? That
yeah, one of my best buds is Martin Leakey of Flat Earth British, and he's always posting videos about how the English language is actually telling the truth on a lot of things, such as when a certain ancient building or city is founded, that's exactly what it means. It doesn't mean that's when it started. That's when they found it and they excavated it. It shows all the buildings that the first and second floors were buried in mud. And they just went ahead and paved new streets. Instead of trying to dig it all out, they just paved new streets. But you can still see the first and second level window sills barely over the surface at gutter level. So this is what he does on his channel. He shows a lot of this. Martin Leakey was a pioneer. He's like you. A lot of people in the YouTube community, Freeman, they don't know that you were already doing this 20 years ago. They just don't know. And when I was educated by my girlfriend, when Dawn told me who you were, and how involved you were in the community a long time ago. I was like, wow, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know. It's the same thing with Martin Leakey. He's like the OG on the Tartaria. He's like one of the original in 2014 and 2015. He had mass produced a lot of videos, and then his other channels had copied a lot of his material, and YouTube took him down. And when YouTube took him down, he's never been able to recover from that. He has four channels now. But Martin Leakey is still putting videos out every week on the same topics. But now there's 100 different YouTube channels that are all talking about the same thing when he was one of the originals.
Yeah, and it's important to get to the original work. It really is, because there's, I was saying in the intro, there's this belief bias, and people only take in what they already know. And so if you're introducing a novel idea into the concept, then it takes a long time for the public, if they ever even accept or see something that they hadn't already known. That's a real problem. Yeah, it looks like we're looking at a Dark City scenario, you know, where they come in and just reboot all of society. You've seen that movie, Dark City?
I saw it with Dawn for the first time maybe about 6 months ago. It really opened my eyes. I had never watched it before, but when I was watching, I was like, yeah, this is a really primitive way to demonstrate how this construct works. Moving around variables, creating new situations, but it would have to have a gullible or a malleable population to do that. Free thinkers are always going to be a disruption to this. And it's for an AI system to be in total control and to be able to fool the inhabitants of the construct, this requires a lot of processing power. And this is what I discuss on my channel as well, just different ways to use the AI's own basically builder protocols to do things in your own life. I have instruction, like videos that are instructionals that teach you how to make things happen in your life, how to prove to yourself that there really is an AI construct and it's paying attention to you, and that you can break pattern. You can literally create reality to knit for you a new reality tunnel if you don't like the one you've been traveling down. It's going to do whatever it needs to do to make sure that you actually believe that the world you're in is real as opposed to a construct. Because the more free thinkers begin waking up, then the AI system itself has an inability to control so many random variables. That's when you start seeing unusual news items, things that don't make sense, breakdowns in culture and society and vocabulary and the arts and music. Now newer and newer reality tunnels are fracturing off because the AI has a builder protocol which enforces it and makes it try to make the world as believable as possible to each individual intellect. But it has an inability to do it good when so many people start waking up. So this is the world we live in now. This is what I show on my channel. I show direct evidence of this on a weekly basis, that we are in a period where the AI structuring is having a problem maintaining its governance over basically the inmates. And this is why so many things just are no longer making sense anymore.
And that brings me to an interesting thought from my travels, because I was an errant force in this AI construct and running around this country. I actually ran around like the World Wide Web. You know, I was the web before the web, and I was telling people all the stories that I had learned along the way, Zechariah Sitchin and the ideas of, ancient past of creation and all the stories that have come to the surface in light now. And many debunked and just thrown out, like Sitchin and Hancock and others. But to the point of the AI keeping my reality real, I had this statement that I would always say, is that I can't go anywhere without running into someone I know. And this would make more sense in this concept of this construct, because it wouldn't have to continually build up characters for me to meet. I just constantly ran into the same damn people. And for me, it was like this mystery of the universe. Like I was, the world felt very small. I'm like, man, no matter what gas station I stopped at, I'd run into somebody I knew. And, this is traveling all across the country and just running into people that I met along the way. So I always found that quite fascinating, like it was a synchronicity type of situation. But now I could put that in the concept that the construct had limited data that it could perform for me. And so it just had to keep reintroducing characters to me. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. In your case, it was very interesting because I was passing through North Carolina. My girlfriend happened to have friends, Steve and Chris Krimi, and wanted to stop in and holler at them. And it just so happens you and a bunch of other people were there with other friends of the Krimis, and everybody was there at the exact same time. And that's how I met you. So it's, it was all because Dawn wanted to stop in and talk to the Krimis. It's crazy.
When you work it, when you get out there and live, the universe does feel alive and working in your benefit. I've stood by that, and being an errant force and defying the dungeon programming, I definitely have found that there is an escape route in this whole scenario. But as long as we continue to follow the construct and even, not even the AI construct, but this political paradigm, social, the dungeon programming, that you can escape.
I agree.
But you can if you start to follow outside. So in this concept of ancient AI, my original thoughts on this were that we're talking about a system that uses zeros and ones, or not and there, trying to think of like the fiber optics, whether there's light and no light, but very simple zeros and ones, right? And then there's things like the Black Knight satellite orbiting out there and just waiting for us to come up with computer technology to start pushing zeros and ones again so that it could introduce itself into the computer system. Is there anything like that in what you're talking about? AI has just been waiting for us to get to this point?
Well, there's a really interesting, deep book. I think you would appreciate it. It's very philosophically deep. This isn't a book for the average person. He even warned you in the introduction. His name is Lyle Jacobs, and he wrote a book called The Discovery of Nothing. On the cover of that book is a bunch of zeros and ones. So when you get to reading that book, the man's philosophy is amazing. He's basically laying out the structuring of our reality by defining first what isn't there. And then by the end of the book, you realize just how little there is to our reality, period. And it's a really compelling book. I've never forgotten the man. Lyle Jacobs was the author. But the reason I'm mentioning that book is because he lays out the idea that we are in some type of construct. But he doesn't go as far as I do. But then again, my research went in other directions than his. But in my paradigm, what I see evidence for is that we are confined in a holographic medium. This is why mathematics and arithmetic allows us to analyze phenomena with inside the construct that provides us predictive value. And it seems to me that we're in some type of Dyson shell, and that the interior of the Dyson shell is a holographic field that mimics a cosmos. It can even mimic parallax, which is not difficult to do. Our flight simulators for the U.S. Navy and Air Force and Army are so sophisticated that they promote a realistic experience. But it's not beyond the ability of technology to create an alternate reality, and then have us inject our personalities into that alternate reality using nothing but suits that are made of that alternate reality itself. This is the avatar. This is what the human body is. This is why you always feel independent of your body. You're inside of it. It's not you. Your body is an avatar that belongs to the construct. And this is what makes everything so convincing, because that body has your personality jacked in through the central nervous system. The central nervous system is like this, it's this neural link. It's a cerebral interface holographic link between the psyche and the simulation. And that's why you can't feel separate from it, and yet you do. And it's all in this paradigm, base can be a part of the holographic reality too. It can be like a Star Trek holodeck, where it's a huge forum. It's a gridded out room. You're on a flat plane field, but the ceiling is all curvature. And then when they activate it, because you are cerebrally interfaced with it, they can make you believe whatever you want, whatever they want inside that containment field, because they're in charge of all your sense perceptions. And the central nervous system is nothing but a series of filters. While you only see 4.5% of the electromagnetic spectrum, your audible and olfactory ranges are far worse. And when something is in absolute control of the very way that you perceive it, and that it itself is wrapped around you, your avatar, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. It's only an intellectual exercise that even allows you to be able to contemplate these things, because there's no way you're ever going to be able to prove any of this. It is entirely subjective. And this is these are the type of this is the type of stuff I discuss in Archaics all the time, and showing from the historical record that all these things that have unfolded could have only unfolded in that way. All the comets, all the asteroids, eclipses, everything in the sky is a part of this grand program, this series of simulated templates. And throughout history, we have even documented when the sky sim failed for whatever reason, whatever, the power source went down, something happened, and people saw what was in the sky. It was mechanical. And it terrified the shit out of them. I have these videos on my channel as well. And we could be facing another situation like in 2017. 2017, during the total eclipse, there are people who claim that they were looking at the eclipse, but then they decided to look at the other side of the sky. While all attention was on the eclipse, those who are in the path of absolute total darkness turned around. Some of them turned around and looked. One guy lost his mind. Others heard him scream, and they all looked in the sky, and they literally saw what looked like machinery and portals and gears, clockwork. And this is precisely what we find in the old European woodcuts, in the old illustrations and the manuscripts from the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th century. And I have shown those illustrations and pictures, and provided those woodcuts and what the translations were in English, so people could read what was being seen in the sky during these episodes. So this holographic field, doesn't have an infinite power source. This is why dungeon programming is necessary, because when hundreds of millions of people are all believing in the same thing, then that feedback loop has already been created. And it's not necessary to use a lot of energy to perpetuate it, because now it's using the energy of those who've invested their belief in it. Now their own energies can be harvested to continue the paradigm of Christianity, to continue Islam, to continue being a conservative Republican, to continue being an atheist who doesn't believe in God, and absolutely liberal or whatever. Whatever the paradigm is, when a bunch of people all believe in it, it literally becomes a feedback loop that can energize itself using all those humans that are participating. And this is the danger of the free thinker. The free thinker absolutely forces the AI to knit new experiences and create new reality tunnels, trying to get that free thinker into a predictable behavior. That's all it wants. It doesn't care if you want to be a millionaire, it'll make that happen. It does not give a damn if you want to discover all the secrets of the universe. It will try to put you in the position to do all the discovering that you ever want to do. It doesn't matter if that woman is out of your league, or you perceive her to be out of your league. If this is what you truly want, you steady going for it and going for it, and you won't conform to anything, and it's all you can get on off of your mind, and you're trying, it's going to make it happen. It's going to make it happen, because it needs you to be predictable. And in order for you to be predictable, it must create a sky that is also predictable, because that's wherein all believability lies. If anything happens to the Sky Sim, the game is over, and then hundreds of millions of consciousnesses will wake up to the idea, holy shit, we're in a construct, and it can't have that.
It makes me wonder if the flat earthers will eventually change the construct and cause the earth to be flat. Also makes me think of Elon Musk launching his Starship and exploding it against the firmament, which looked like it hit water.
That is very unusual. I've seen the footage, and I saw a video that shocked me. It shocked me. The guy showed like the UAP, and it looks just like a speedboat going through water from about 200 feet below the speedboat. Then he shows a scuba diver with a camera filming boats passing overhead. It is absolutely identical to what it looks like when you see these comet tails. It's like things are out there in the ocean above. You already know, you're a well-read guy. You know that the ancient cosmographies, they were all on board with an ocean being suspended in the sky. This was a part of a lot of ancient belief systems. They believed the firmament above was a watery canopy that was suspended in the sky until a single event in the ancient world called the day the sky fell. And the day the sky fell was when the vapor canopy collapsed. It's when the world suddenly changed. Humans no longer grew to large sizes. Trees weren't huge. Mushrooms weren't gigantic. Animals and plants started getting smaller and smaller. This is the old Hesiod version of the Titans. And after the Titan race was no longer growing to the size of Titans, because Typhon had attacked. Typhon is the single reason why the Great Flood occurred, which is the day the sky fell. It's the collapse of the vapor canopy. Typhon had destroyed the world of the Titans. And after that, humans were gigantic. They just weren't titanic anymore. And then one generation after the giants were born, then normal-sized humans were born. So in one generation, we had normal-sized humans looking at their moms and dads as giants. And then they were looking at their grandparents as titans. And when we put all the traditions of the ancient world together, it all absolutely makes sense. But there was a drastic change in the Sky Sim. Something had changed in the Sky Sim, and it forever changed humanity and all the generations afterward.
Yes. And that absolutely brings me to this concept of the novel idea. Tried to introduce to the public this concept that the mark of the beast, according to Typhonian magic and Satanist, is the O and the X. It's a X within a circle. Of course, it's the Xbox logo, the X-Files logo, the Apple 10 operating system, the OX. Starlink, yes, X. And now we have this massive X coming in over the United States that is also connected to all these serpent deities of destruction. So Typhon, guys, if you don't know, this is the beast of the abyss, and we are in the belly of the beast. It's funny, I was going to bring that up. I was listening to your Baby Phoenix, and I was about to get to the belly of the beast and the OX symbol in my notes, and then you brought it up. And I was like, you have to mention the belly of the beast and Typhon. And I was like, all right, we're on track here. The OX symbol, I mean, technically it's called the Sigil of Nodens, but it goes to the abyss, and it relates to a Leviathan or Typhon, and it comes from Typhonian magic. And if anybody wants the resource on that, because nobody's picking this up, you know, this was one of my pet peeves that I was bringing in, because your work is so novel that people, you know, it's going to take them years to finally adopt the knowledge you're dropping. And in the same way, this OX symbol that is just permeating our society. I mean, it's Russell Brand's logo. It's, you know, all the others, the X-Files, all the things, Xbox that we mentioned, and X and everything else. Going back to the mark of the beast of the Typhonians, and Typhon is this beast, seawater beast.
I can give
beast.
You another example of that X. I've shown in my videos on ancient America, the Maya and the Zapotec, the Quiche, the Inca, they all shared a very unique symbol. I show pictures of it in ancient art, and also
ancient
in my
Egypt had that
books.
As well.
Yeah, it's crossed bars. And they used bars to signify like one units of 100 and stuff like that. It's very interesting how they mix the Sumerian sexagesimal system with the decimal system, almost as if they had transatlantic contact with a Mediterranean race. And we know they did. We found there's Mediterranean artifacts all over the ancient Americas. But what's interesting is that the crossed bars are found on the stone of the fifth sun, the ancient Toltec 22-ton disc. That explains that four suns have already died, four worlds have already collapsed, and we're in the fifth sun now. And when the fifth sun collapses, it is represented as two crossed bars, and those two crossed bars underneath them have a pyramid. You can clearly see it on the stone of the fifth sun. It even shows the individual bricks of that pyramid. And then above the two crossed bars is an eye symbol. This is ancient American relic. So based off an ancient American calendar, a belief system in the destruction of the 13 worlds underneath the 13th heavens that will come to pass in the 13th age, which is really interesting because, again, this identifies America, started with 13 colonies. And the whole ancient world was subdivided into 12 regions. But with Americas being added, we have a 13th region. It's really compelling, all the associations, because you don't find the crossed bars and all that in the Mediterranean religions. You don't find them in the iconography, but you find them everywhere in America when it comes to a text or a date stele or a pillar that's conveying the idea of the end of a cycle and the beginning of a new cycle. That's when the crossed bars are used.
And of course, they worship the winged serpent as well.
Yeah, Quetzalcoatl. That's right.
No escape. Random thought. Did you see that video of the man behind the moon? I don't know whether to believe it or not. Looks like a stone face kind of peering down behind the moon.
Freeman, it's so hard to distinguish fact from fiction when it comes to visuals now. That's why I stick to these books from the 1700s and 1800s. Exactly. I just can't. I mean, up to the Nuremberg trials, anything published after the Nuremberg trials, I'm not going to lean on it for anything unless it's like a modern book, like I just told you by Lyle Jacobs, book on philosophy. The books on history, science, stuff like that. It's got to be before the Nuremberg trials that I'll take it into consideration, because it was after World War II, 1946, United Nations founded from the old League of Nations. Nuremberg trials was basically a takeover by the tiny hats of the entire world structure, the world colleges, Hollywood, everything was taken over, and a whole new paradigm was promoted through publishing and through movie narratives and scripts. And it's anything published after 1946 is really highly suspect to me.
Yes. And it's all going to happen again as America comes into Nuremberg too. Complete total rewriting of history. Well, we're wrapping up this first hour here, Jason. So let's make sure everybody knows just where to find everything. And of course, archaics.com and your YouTube channel, which I'll have linked here. Is there any other places like X or things that you want to promote?
Actually, you can go to just archaics.com. I've got a resources section in there. It'll take you everywhere. I've got an AI search engine that will help. You can ask any question you can ever imagine, and the answers will pop up in my 700 YouTube video. It's an AI search feature. It's awesome. Just ask your question. And if I've ever covered that topic, it goes through 700 video transcripts in real time and instantly produces all the videos and gives you the timestamp links to click onto for the answers or whatever you're searching for.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, me and Alex DeSecuris are working on Freeman's mind right now. I'm going to try and do that with my own work. So I'm excited to hear that you've got this going. I mean, You've done some impressive work here, Jason. I mean, I'm very impressed with archaics.com and how it all works. And I didn't even know there was an AI factor involved in all of that. So there.
Yeah, you can go to resources at the top of the website. There's a bunch of links to different pages of the website. One of them is called Resources. It'll take you there. I've got people that they write thesis papers. I've got people that homeschool children, and this is where they pull their syllabuses from because it's easy. Anything you want to know about anything I've ever talked about, any data sets, any source materials, anything, you can just put it in the search bar and it'll instantly pull up where in the videos and in which videos that we discuss those things.
Fantastic. So for April 8th, guys, we're looking at three rocket launches of sounding rockets named after the serpent deity of destruction, Apep, which relates to Apophis, which is the next destruction to come in 2026 on Friday the 13th, which I think is also April. We have all of Homeland Security and every security force and hospital preparing for April 8th. We have the news telling you to have enough groceries for 2 weeks and fill your car up and prepare. What is all of this that is coming down? It's going to be a bizarre day, and I still haven't decided whether I'm going to go outside or not.
Well, I would like to tell you what I plan on doing.
Yes.
So I'm not into promoting fear, but I'm also into having common sense. Uh-huh. And there is enough weirdness in the field to go ahead, because a microwave oven also acts as a Faraday cage. If you can't afford a Faraday cage, a microwave oven does really good job too. So I do have Faraday bags and Faraday boxes. What I plan on doing, because I don't want to be victim of some type of secret experiment that they're going to do with these 5G towers, or they don't even need the towers anymore. They can just do it through your phones. So what Dawn and I are going to do is we're turning our phones off for the entire day of the eclipse, and we're going to put them in a Faraday bag wrapped real good. And then we're going to put the Faraday bag with our phones turned off in the microwave. And we're just going to go, dark for the whole day. And we have radios, and radio is real safe. You can just turn a radio on all day and you can listen to different radio stations. And we'll get our news from there, but we're going to stay off the internet. And I just don't like all the stuff that's in the field. And I don't want to be a participant. I don't want invited into my life. I am absolutely aware. I don't talk about it on my channel. Matter of fact, I've never talked about it on my channel, but I have the research. I'm very aware of the level of technology that's being used against people now. I don't quite understand it, but it's the reason I wear the glasses I wear. But there is, they have weaponized our own laptops and computers against us. They can literally take somebody out with a flash of light. I don't know what's encoded in that flash of light, but many people have been killed in this fashion. And it looks like a stroke. It looks like a heart attack at their desk or whatever. I'm not trying to hear it. It's why I wear these glasses. These glasses are not normal. They're not normal. They're not real stylish, but these are heavy grade, blue blockers, but they block a lot of other things too. And Dawn has a pair. I have a pair. And I don't ever talk about this on YouTube because I don't want to promote that type of fear, but I'm also aware of the field and these things are happening, and they are weaponizing technology against us. And we have to be aware of that. And if something unusual is being planned for during the eclipse, then the planners would not pass up on the opportunity to go ahead and take care of other things they need to sweep up too. So, I mean, this is how PSYOPs go. PSYOPs are, when a PSYOP is playing out, they're normally running multiple PSYOPs at the exact same time to promote controversy.
Absolutely. Yes. It's gonna be a wild day, that's for sure. And everybody realize that our world is not what you think it is. And there are separate realities.
My favorite quote.
I did take that from you and threw it in here. Yeah, it makes me think of those people that were doing the spinning and then dropping dead.
Yeah. Some of these people that have fallen out, they fell out at times that were so perfect. I'll give you an example. Do you remember the comedian chick that was sitting there being real
about the vaccine?
Yeah, she was being a real smart ass about the vaccine. I took it, I did all that. Yeah, she taken out quick.
Drops
in the
dead.
Middle of her speech, yeah. Just collapsed on stage. And she's not the only one. She's not the only, it's almost as if these things can be induced by remote control. So
Yeah.
No.
Well, there is so much going on in our world, folks, that it's near impossible to keep up. I mean, from boats crashing into bridges, looking at 5 years of repair, trying to span the Francis Scott Key Bridge, you know, years and years and years are doomed there. And what a mystery that is. We've got Israel attacking Baalbek, Lebanon, you know, of all places. And we've got the mother of dragons or devil's comet coming in. Meanwhile, this great X, the grand X going across the United States, marking potential end of an era here in the situation. Who knows what's going to come? But Jason and I aren't done. We got a whole nother hour for you guys, and I have so much I want to dig into. Things that I've been chopping at the bit during this whole hour. Like, just keep it, just hold on, save it until we get to the next hour. So if you want to join us over in the bonus hour, please come over to freemantv.com and subscribe. Not only do you get all the bonus work, but you keep this show on the air. And all the people listening now, thank you for doing so, because it's the only way this show is going to stay on the air as they continue to ban and shadow ban and everything they can to shut down my work. The only thing that keeps me going is you, and you have done so in such a great fashion. It's amazing to do. So I'm so thankful for everyone that has come on over. Please come down to freemantv.com, check it all out. And of course, you can find all the podcasts on all the players out there. So if you want, just look up the Free Zone with Freeman Fly on any podcast app that you have, and it'll be there. And then the flash drive. I constantly push the flash drive because most of my work, a lot of my work, has been just completely blocked from the internet. It's gone. You know, it's just gone. If you don't pay the server, it's gone, right? So to find out why I'm so blocked, banned, and barred, you need to get that flash drive, because that has all of my work, along with all of the photography and artwork and anything that I could jam into that 30-gigabyte flash drive is stuffed in there for you. So that really helps keep the show on the air as well. I highly recommend it. And I want to thank you all so much for tuning in each week. And we will see you next week. We'll